Hello,
Love
hello,
Talk
hello.
Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Pastor Katie Pierce with Hope Alliance, Inc., and we're coming to you on tonight with Breaking the Silence. And we're going to be talking about tonight again the church and what it has the responsibility of doing with regards to domestic violence. The recent current events that have hit the news and that been talked about, even with regards to the young man who has killed his cousin, who was a policeman, and two other ladies and things of that nature, is letting us know that there is still a vast need and a large need for someone to speak up and give voice to domestic violence. I found it interesting that they're not saying anything or that no pastors or anybody comes forth in with regards to that, even with regard to the young man who killed the children and his ex-wife and her current husband. No pastors, nobody's coming up. But my prayer is that behind the scenes, that within the four walls of the church building, something is being said about domestic violence. And so as we begin to look at this thing on tonight, we want to take a closer look at what's being done. How are we handling it in the church? I do encourage you to send your request or send information, that, if you will, to healing@hopealliancinc.com. Again, that's healing@hopealliancinc.com. We appreciate any questions, any feedback that you may have with reference to the segment and what we're talking about on tonight. So again, you can send any information to healing@hopealliancinc.com. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your joining us on tonight. So let's just begin to look at some things with regards to domestic violence in the church. The Bible has a lot to say about domestic violence, and we did touch base on that on last week. Week before last. Last week we weren't with you because we were at our AEN conference, and so we weren't with you on last week. But we definitely, the week before that, we talked a lot in general about domestic violence and the weight that it has, the weight that it carries in the church. And so as we begin to look at that again on tonight, the Bible has a lot to say about abuse and domestic violence. It addresses the issue. Of course, we know that domestic violence isn't something that just started. There are instances in the Bible where domestic violence was a problem in the Bible as well. And so as we begin to look at that and just begin to take a closer look at it scripturally, with what we need to do and how we need to be handling domestic violence in the church, we need to give voice. We have to give a voice to those who are sitting silently in the pews and who are going through something. We shared with you on last week how imperative it is to educate those who are in leadership positions in the church. We talked about educating those who are in the security team and implementing some safeguards that will help those who are going through domestic violence. We talked about educating the women's leader coordinator. We talked about educating the Sunday school teacher and things that you can begin to look for as far as what signs of domestic violence are looking like. So the Bible does have a lot to say about domestic abuse. An answer to that, and one of the scriptures that I want to touch base on that I found very interesting, comes from Psalms, the 11th chapter, and the 5th verse. And it says, "The Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked are those who love violence, his soul hates." Again, the scripture in Psalms 11:5 says, "The Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked and those who love violence, his soul hates." So God does not promote domestic violence, not even in the instances of a marriage. I know that of old times, you know, people are saying, mind your own business, stay out of people's business when it comes to a husband and a wife, but that is not so. It is the responsibility, especially of those of a pastor, to hold accountable those who are your sheep, to hold accountable those who are in leadership at your church, to make sure that they're doing according to Ephesians. Ephesians said, husband, love your wife, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. It talks about how in Ephesians, how the man shouldn't do harm to himself, to treat the wife even as you would your own body. And if you saw somebody walking down the street socking themselves, I am sure you would call somebody with the special jackets as soon as possible. So as we begin to look at these and look at the scriptures, we find it out that it is not okay for a spouse to commit violence against the other, whether it's the male perpetrating or the female perpetrating. We do understand that there are women who are perpetrators for domestic violence for whatever the reason. We need to begin to look at that and understand that according to this scripture, God hates violence. God is examining the righteous, but he hates those who are committing violence. Another scripture in Hebrews 13:3, it says, remember those in prison as if it were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if it were yourselves who were suffering. Let me read that again. Hebrews 13, the third verse. Remember those in prison as if it were your fellow prisoner, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. So that scripture is reminding us that when we see people going through stuff, it is our business. It is our business to make sure that people who are going through, people who are suffering behind the walls of domestic violence, it is our business to become involved, to get involved. It is our responsibility as Christians to get involved. Now, how you do that is going to be wise. You're going to have to use wisdom. The Bible talks about being as strong as a serpent, but as gentle as a dove. You have to use wisdom. You're going to have to use some craftiness. My thing that I want to share with those of you who are listening, if you know somebody who is in a domestic violence situation, you become educated to assist them. Encourage them as oftentimes as you can to seek out counseling, to seek out help. And what I mean by you getting educated or becoming educated is the fact that you need to find out where are the domestic violence shelters that are in your area. Where can they go to get counseling for domestic violence? You're going to have to become educated. On tonight, I definitely want to say that if the church has a responsibility to those who are going through domestic violence, it's the responsibility of the church and the church community to help those who are oppressed from their violent oppressors. It is the responsibility of the church. And so as we begin to look at even more scripture, there are countless and numerous scripture in the Bible that talks about becoming justice, talks about becoming a help and meeting the needs of those who are going through domestic violence. And so we have to begin to do that. One of the scriptures that I want to share again is in Isaiah 1:17. And the reason why I'm sharing scripture is because Hope Alliance is actually a Christian-sponsored nonprofit organization. We come with biblical reasoning as to why we have stepped in to assist those who are going through domestic violence. And so I definitely wanted to first and foremost eradicate the notion that domestic violence is okay, especially when it's between a husband and a wife. I've had opportunity where I've talked to other people who are in domestic violence and who have shelters, and they said that the majority of the women who come through their doors are women who are Christians and who believe that somehow the husband is okay to commit violence against them. And we need to eradicate that thought process soon. And the only way to eradicate it is to give scripture, to give scriptural reasoning as to why it is not okay for a husband to verbally abuse. It's not okay to verbally abuse. It's not okay to emotionally abuse. None of that is okay, and none of that is acceptable in God. It says, learn to do good seek justice, help the oppressed, defend the orphan, fight for the right of the widows. And in this scripture, of course, we're talking about help the oppressed, those who are going through domestic violence. It is our responsibility, according to Isaiah 1 and 17, it is our responsibility to help. In Psalms, the 10th chapter, verses 17 and 18, the word of God says, Lord, you know the hopes of the helpless. Lord, you know the hopes of the helpless. Surely you will listen to their cries and comfort them. You will bring justice to the orphans and the oppressed so people can no longer terrify them. They shouldn't have to go through this thing by themselves. And it is the church's responsibility, again I say, it is the church's responsibility to step up to the plate and assist where we can to help them get out of that situation. One of the things that I definitely wanted to talk about is just like you have a fire safety plan, you need to have a DV, a domestic violence safety plan. For anybody that's going through domestic violence, you need a plan. You need to be able to know how to get out of your situation and how to get to safety. And I just wanted to go over some of the things that are listed with reference to a domestic violence safety plan. And if this isn't referencing to you, perhaps it's something that you can put in the back of your mind when you see somebody that's going through domestic violence that you will be able to share. And the reason why I particularly brought this safety plan up is because upon looking at the recent current event with the young man who killed the two ladies who were witnessing domestic violence against a wife, they were killed and stabbed to death. I thought about how we have to safeguard some things. First and foremost, the Lord is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in the time of trouble, and that we as Christians have to learn how to saturate things in prayer. We have to know how to pray through things. We have to know that God has given his angels charge over us, and we have to use, again, wisdom. And so as I was looking at that, how I began to say there should have been some type of safety plan that was implemented. I've often shared the story about my girlfriend when I was going through domestic violence, and she would call me and she would hear an episode erupt in the background, and she would always tell me, we had a word that I would say. She would say, if you say such and such word, and just for the sake of a word, if you say apple, I'll hang up and dial 911 and I'll get you some help. We had an understanding. And so then I would say something like, oh, the sea is blue and it's always calming because of the color blue. Something to let her know that I was okay. We had dialogue, whereas she knew when I was in immediate danger. There was also an instance of a young lady who was going through domestic violence who actually called me on my job, and I could hear the perpetrator bamming at the door and try to get in, and she was screaming. Immediately, what I did was I put her on hold. I dialed 911. They connected me with the 911 police in the area that she lived, and we got the police to go to the house. I clicked back over to her, stayed on the line with her until the police came to know that she was safe. Things, when you use godly wisdom, God will show you how to do that thing so that you are safe as well as the victim who's going through domestic violence. So I wanted to talk about developing a safety plan and discussing the safety plan if you have children around you. One of the things when I was going through domestic violence, every time I would leave my counseling session, she would ask me, what was my safety plan? And the safety plan had to be talked over with my children so that they understood what was going to happen in the case that we needed to get to safety. And so they knew where to meet me. If I called the school again and said a certain word, they knew not to go home from the word that I spoke. If I say this word, you know not to go home, but to go to the designated safe haven that we had previously chosen. These are things that may seem like they're little or nothing, or you're going through the extreme, but it's necessary. It's necessary for your safety. Now, let me just say this as well. I need to give an indemnity clause. Hope Alliance, and by no means do we seek for people to get a divorce. If you are married, Our desire is not for you to get a divorce. Our desire is for that perpetrator to understand that he needs counseling. He needs counseling, and that your safety is our priority. I just needed to put that indemnity clause out there for somebody who's listening. So we don't advocate divorce. We advocate safety. Amen, somebody. Amen. And so as we begin to look at that, it said to, in cases where you're able to, tell your neighbor if you're going through domestic violence situation, and let them know that if they hear anything, loud noises, or it sounds like it's an altercation, give them the okay to dial 911. You can dial 911 and be anonymous. They'll know where you are because of the way that things are situated, but you don't have to necessarily give your name. And so you need to make it aware to your neighbors. You need to make your landlord aware that, especially if the perpetrator has been removed from the premises, the landlord needs to be made aware that he no longer stays there, and that those are the precautions that have been taking place. So you need to have safety at home. Set up some perimeters so that you can safeguard your home and so that you and your children can be safe. Safety in the workplace. Your job has an obligation to make sure that you're safe in the workplace. One of the saddest things, and I will keep saying it, the strongest strength to domestic violence is silence. When you try to keep it a secret, when you're too embarrassed to let people know what's going on in your life. Am I saying shout it from the rooftop? No. But there are some people that you have to let know what's going on with you so that they'll be able to keep you safe. And so you need to let your supervisor know at your job, or the human resources department know at your job what's going on, so that they can set up some safeguards to protect you. It's imperative that you get an order of protection and keep it with you at all times. Inform building security and coworkers that you can trust, because everybody you can't trust, those that you can trust about your situation. Do not suffer in silence. It's not necessary to suffer in silence. And so we have to begin to take the necessary safeguards. If possible, provide a picture or a photograph of the abuser to the building security. And this may sound like it's at the far end of the scope. That's just too much, but it's necessary so that you can be safe. How often, how many times have we seen situations where somebody's gone into someone's workplace and they've committed violence against them at the workplace? So you have to take the necessary steps to safeguard yourself. Safety during a volatile domestic violence incident. If an argument seems unavoidable, move to a room. This is important. Move to a room or an area with easy access to an exit. Not a bathroom, not a kitchen, or anywhere near weapons. Identify which door, window, stairwell, or elevator offers the quickest way out of your home, and practice your route. We have annual fire safety things where we have to actually go through. We have to actually go through what we're going to do in case of a fire. You have to practice, because when you get nervous, you're not thinking straight. But if you've practiced, if it's become a routine, if it's become secondary with you, then you automatically know what to do, and you'll find yourself getting the safety quickest. I thought it was very, very important that it said don't go to a bathroom. And in most instances, we are prone to run to the bathroom and lock the door, but the bathroom does not give you an access out. In most cases, the bathroom does not give you easy access out of the house. So those are the places that you don't want to go. You don't want to go in the kitchen, because that's the place where there are weapons and things, and it could prove to be detrimental as opposed to unhelp. So you need to kind of start thinking through some things and looking around and finding out what do you need to do to access and to get out quickly. Devise a code word to use with your children. Again, I shared with you that my children and I had a code word. Use it with your children, with your family, with your friends. in case you need the police. I also had a young lady. The ironic thing with this young lady was that I had never met her. Only thing I did, she ended up calling the church for some assistance. And she and I began to talk on the phone. And we came up with, devised a code word for her that if she was ever in trouble, she should say that word, and that would let me know to call the police. This young lady came out to be a poster child because she eventually left her abuser. She got a job. She found her own house. And everything just worked out well for her, and I'm so appreciative. But we would talk, and she would say things. She never had to use that word, praise God. She never had to use that word. But the first thing that we did was we implemented. That was the first thing we did in our conversation. We came up with a code word that would let me know that she needed help and that I should call the police. Decide where you would go if you have to leave. If you do not think it would come to that, use your instincts and judgment. Consider giving the abuser what he or she wants to defuse a dangerous situation. You have a right to protect yourself when you are in danger, and you do not deserve to be battered or threatened. No one deserves to have to go through that. No one has a right to be violent against you. No one has a right to curse you out and call you by name. And so it's also some things here that talks about personalized safety, things that you should put away just in case you need to. You need to have your Social Security card, birth certificates, things of that nature. We talked about that a little bit in our last session. We talked about it a little bit and things that we can do. And what we do plan on doing is we plan to put some of these things up on our Facebook page as well as our website so that you can begin to know some things. Those of you who know people who are going through domestic violence, again, educate yourself. You come up. You share things with them. You may not be able to hand them a pamphlet with a hotline number on it because the abuser can find it. But if you know what to do, if they can call you and give you that word, say that word that you guys have already talked about, then you'll be better able to call the police and get help. We definitely want to get to a point where we are alleviating domestic violence, where we're alleviating domestic violence. So we're talking about safety in our home, safety in our residence, how to get an order of protection. You know, encourage these things. Encourage these things so that the person that's going through domestic violence does not have to feel like they are hopeless. Amen. And so those are the things that we are beginning to look at. I think that domestic violence is definitely getting a voice in the community. We're definitely understanding and seeing how important it is to educate ourselves. I think that it's also very important that we never make the victim feel like it's their fault. You know, going through domestic violence myself, it says statistically that a person who is in domestic violence will oftentimes go back to the abuser at least 7 times before they finally make up their mind to leave. And that would be me. But I had those people who were willing to stick it out with me. Don't leave them by themselves. Yes, it can become frustrating. But keep in mind, we're Christians. I'm talking to Christians, saved people. It is imperative that you pray them through that situation, that you ask God to cover them with the blood, that you begin to release the angelic force on their behalf in the name of Jesus. Remember, we're Christians, and so the Bible says that if your brother asks you for the coat, to give them the cloak also. If they ask you to go a mile, go 2 miles. What is that saying? You have to be willing to go the whole road with somebody that's going through domestic violence. Don't drop them. Don't drop them. Don't leave them alone. Encourage them that you're with them. You're with them. You're with them. You're with them to the long haul. And so the thing that we have to begin to understand, the thing that we have to look at is how can we educate ourselves? What is it that we can do? I would suggest even to those of you who are not in domestic violence, but you know somebody is, you visit a shelter. you go and visit a place and sit down and ask some questions. They'll be more than happy to answer your question. If you're a pastor, if you're a leader, again, I said it on last week, and I'm repeating it because it's worth repeating. At your women's conference, always have something about domestic violence. At your women's conference, at your church retreat, whatever it is, talk about domestic violence. That's the only way that it's going to have a voice. And that's the only way that we're going to be able to alleviate it and eradicate it in our society. We have to give it a voice. We have to give it a name so that people can understand. It didn't just happen to the couple that was in Louisiana. It can happen on your block. It can happen in your neighborhood. It can happen in your city. And so we have to begin, hallelujah, to give it a voice. I'm passionate about this. I'm passionate about this because I found out even as I began to go around and minister, and I would sing about go and do solos, and before I would give a solo, I would give my testimony about how God brought me out of a DV relationship. And I was so hurt to find that pastors don't want you to talk about that. It hurt me. It hurt me to know that pastor wants to keep that thing silent. I was told that you know, that's private and that I should mind my own business. Well, it is my business. It's my business to help my sister who's suffering in silence. It's my business, watch this, to help the person who's got anger issues, anger management issues, and they want to release. They don't want to hit. They find it that this control issue that I have is something that I don't want. There is an answer. There's an answer for the perpetrator, and there's an answer for those who are suffering in silence. And so I appreciate you joining us on today. I appreciate you calling in on today to hear and to become educated and aware about domestic violence and its practices. On next week, what I want to talk about is how to spot a batterer before the relationship begins. How to spot a batterer before the relationship begins. And so on next week, we're going to go over that in detail on next week. So, again, I want to leave some scriptures with you. So, husbands are to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. And that's Ephesians 5:28-29. Colossians 3:19 said, husband, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And this has to do with verbal abuse. Verbal abuse. The Bible talks about how a kind word can turn away wrath, and that we have to learn how, this says to put all anger, wrath, evil speaking, put that away from you. That shouldn't be found in the body of Christ. And so we have to learn how to, I don't want to say we have to learn how to control our temper, but we have to learn how to relinquish some things over to the Holy Spirit so that he can begin to guide us into all truth. Amen. That's how I'm going to say it. So I'm praying that you will join in with us on next week so that we can begin to talk about how to spot a batterer before the relationships begin. And then we're also going to pick up and talk about just some things that we can do again to safeguard those who are in our churches. Thank you so much for joining us on today. Father God, in Jesus' name, we just pray now, God, that the Holy Spirit will give those who need a way of escape, even now in the name of Jesus. We pray now for those who are witnessing domestic violence by a neighbor, that they'll begin to reach out and help. Thank you, O Lord God, as we give voice to domestic violence, as we raise awareness. In Jesus' name, it is so, and so it is. Amen. Again, thank you so much for joining us, for breaking the silence as we begin talking about domestic violence and how the church is handling it. Until next week, may God's greatest and God's best be yours. Have a blessed day. Bye.